This is Doug Miller. Well, we've got another courtroom scene here, and this time with an opposing attorney that can really talk. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time, Word of God in hand, to speak into this microphone, to tell forth the truth of God's Word, and to know indeed that this message is going out to many. Now, the Lord's Word is powerful, and it is living, and it changes lives. So bring your Bibles, come along. We are going to begin in the 24th chapter of Acts in verse 1. And call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization, and I might add a non-denominational organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we absolutely are dependent upon our Lord and upon the Lord's people. We very much need to have your prayers, your word of mouth support. We cannot do this ministry without many out there who are interested in and have an interest in Dialogue Ministries. And that can mean any of you. If you hear us and if you are persuaded we're doing of anything of value, why, help us out. We would, of course, always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Okay, if you didn't get that, why, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. We have, of course, as you always hear me say on here, if you listen, we have, you can email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. If you wish to pull up our webpage, it's Dialogue Ministries, all small letters, all one word, .org. Okay? And we will be, we haven't got them up yet, but we will be getting up rather quickly, I think, the recorded messages from the recent conference that was held here in Oklahoma City. That was on May 12th. And so we run a little bit behind here, but don't worry, we'll get those up and you can pull them down and listen to them. If you wish to call and talk to me, our telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. Area code 405-535-9089. And as I frequently say, you will get a recording and I will get back with you. All right, I think those are all the preliminaries that I have. So, let's get into the Word. Now, I'm a little bit hoarse. I just came back from speaking at a three-day conference up in Missouri. And I spoke, shouted, cajoled, whatever, myself into a measure of hoarseness. So if I sound a little bit hoarse to you, that is why. All right, let's pick it up. Acts 24, verse 1. And what do we have here? Ananias, the high priest, 5 days later. 5 days later than what? Well, 5 days later than when Paul was hauled off up to the governor to save him, to keep the Jews from killing him. And let's make no mistake about it, that's exactly what they were going to do. You know, religion, I've said it many times, is a terrible thing. Religious people will kill you in a heartbeat. I don't care who they are. People say, well, not our religious people. That's those evil guys over there. Yeah, well, in my experience, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have a murderous hatred in our heart. All of us, if we are unregenerate in particular and unsaved in particular, are capable of crimes and sins that we wouldn't believe possible. So here are these, the Jews, a party of the Jews, come up to see the governor 5 days later, and this is Ananias, same guy that was hanging around back in at the Lord Jesus' trial, if you want to call it a trial. And they come down here with elders and a certain orator. This man's name is Tertullus, I guess is how you pronounce this, or maybe the emphasis is on the middle syllable, you think? Tertullus. That sounds a little bit better, doesn't it? Although it sounds a little bit like turtle, too. And I'm persuaded this man was not a turtle or anything like a turtle. He was a man who was very eloquent. He is known for his eloquence. And he comes down to speak to the noble Felix. No, I mean, these eloquent people, they're also sycophants, don't they? They don't mind toadying up to people, do they? And I don't say that because, I mean, that's just a fact. It was just a way, I mean, you didn't approach the governor back, you know, in those days and say, how you doing, Gov? How you doing, Prez? You didn't slap people on the back. I mean, you greeted them with a certain decorum, a certain amount of respect. So here is Tertullus. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him. Well, to accuse who? To accuse Paul. That's what he was there for, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence. I hope that Felix is sufficiently impressed by this. I really doubt that he is, but let's see. We accept it always and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. Oh, how grateful we are to you, Felix. Interesting name, isn't it, Felix? I wouldn't name a kid Felix, but apparently it was, you know, prominent back then. Look at this. Notwithstanding, incidentally, no offense intended to any of you out there who happen to be named Felix. It's just not a name that, but nevertheless, let's get off this subject right now before I talk myself into trouble. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee. Well, he's already being tedious unto me, but let's go on. I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words, just a few. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect. Now, the word sect here is heresios. Heresios is, you know, the word heresy is transliterated out of the Greek. And it's a heresy. This is the word we get our word heresy from. This man's a heretic, this sect of the Nazarenes. Well, of course, I'm offended by this. Certainly, I don't see Christianity as a heresy, but Tertullus did. And he's a pestilent fellow, this Paul, and he's a, you know, ringleader of this heresy, who also hath gone about to profane the temple, whom we took and would have judged according to our law. We would have handled it now. Of course, they were going to kill him, and that's how their law would have killed him, would have done. I mean, they would have killed him, and we would have just snuffed this guy real quick, and that would have been the end of it. But guess what happened? The chief captain, Lysias, this Roman who doesn't understand these things, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. I love this. This violent, evil, wicked, lawless Roman took him out of our hands, and all we were going to do was kill him. No violence in that, after all, now is there. This guy's amazing. He took him and Let's go on into commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all these things whereof we accuse him. Now there is old Tertullus, that's what he is to say. And in verse 9, we have the Jews, and they are assenting, they're putting an amen to everything he said. Yes, I mean, you can believe it. We are in agreement with Tertullus and so on and so forth. Now, friends, if there's anything to be noted from all of this, it is simply this, that eloquence in and of itself presupposes nothing but eloquence. Tertullus can talk. He was an orator, we are informed. But any resemblance between, and there's a measure of truth in this. There's a measure of truth in this. Yes, they were going to kill Paul. He doesn't put it in just that way. Yes, they were prevented from doing it by this violent, wicked Roman who came and took Paul away. Well, Paul was a Roman citizen, as we saw last time. And Romans had a certain measure of respect for law. There were certain things you had to do. You couldn't just go around killing people. And if the Jews said, well, we have our law and you have yours. Yeah, right. I understand that. But right now, in this time and in this place, it is Roman law that prevails. And that was true then, and it's true now. You don't just come along and say, well, we have our religious law, and that's how we're going to do it. We got a lot of Muslims out here who are doing those kind of things, you know, these honor killings and stoning women and cutting people and I don't know what all they do. And that's Sharia, and they want to live by Sharia. Tough. You want to come to this country and live, you live by our laws. And our laws do not permit that sort of thing, and neither did the Roman law here. Well, the Jews said in verse 9, as we saw, yes, all of this is true. But the Romans had another little thing that they used to do. And, you know, I cannot, I admire them for this. Under Roman law, you wanted to drag a Roman into court and make accusations against him. He had a right to be there and to hear the accusations, and to respond. So, here's Paul. Verse 10. Then Paul, after that the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered. Let's see what Paul says. Forasmuch as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because that thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem for to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogues, nor in the city, neither can they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. All right. Now, Paul is not quite the toady that Tertullus is he? He doesn't, you know, try to butter up Felix. He merely says, I am happy. You've been a judge of this nation for many years. That would suggest that Felix has some knowledge of Jewish law, some knowledge of the Mosaic law and of Jewish customs. And Paul simply says, I'm glad that you do. I'm here to tell you now that it was about 12 days ago. This is when I went up to Jerusalem to worship. That's all I was there to do. In my worship, I was not doing one thing wrong. Why have they dragged me in here, therefore? They have dragged me in here because they know of my belief. They know what I believe. They can call it a heresy. In fact, we see here, Paul says in verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Now, Paul uses, he says heresy here. It's exactly the same word that Tertullus used earlier. It's, you know, it's this heresy thing, haresias, and it's the same word. Yeah, they can call it heresy. Paul doesn't call it heresy, does he? But it's in this way that I worship the God of my Father. I believe everything that's written in the law and in the prophets. I stand before you here. I am a Bible-believing man. I believe in Moses. I believe what Moses wrote. I read the same book they read, and I see something a little bit different. I read that book, and I see that no one can be saved by keeping the law because they can't keep it. I see that Messiah, whom they say is coming, has come. I see that they delivered him up to be crucified, that he was crucified. I see all of these things, and that he was buried and rose the third day. In fact, let's read verses 15 and 16. And I have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust. And herein do I exercise myself, to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. Now here we have it. They believe in the resurrection. If they were Pharisees, they certainly did. I believe in the resurrection. I believe that the dead shall be raised, and I exercise myself to have to always have a conscience void of offense. Paul is once again affirming there is not one thing I have done against what they believe. There is not one thing I did offensive to their religion, to their laws. I was merely worshiping in the temple. I am here before you, Felix, for one reason and for one reason only. It's this business of Messiah. I say Jesus of Nazareth is both Lord and Christ. I say he is Messiah. I say, according to the scriptures that they read and that I read and that we both claim to believe, it was absolutely necessary that Messiah die and be buried and lay in that tomb 3 days and be raised up again. Now, that's where I'm coming from, Pete. Now, for those of you who are looking at this, you say, well, Miller, I think you're kind of reading some. I didn't see Paul saying anything like, okay, he didn't say it exactly. But this is, I think, pretty clearly the idea, and these are the very words he uses in other places many times. These individuals have come all the way from Jerusalem down here to the governor, Felix, and to accuse Paul and to try to kill Paul for one reason and one reason only. I mean, this is it, pure and simple. They do not believe Jesus was Messiah, and they are willing to kill people who say that he was. A friend of mine I was recently talking to came back from Jerusalem, and oh, he loved it. I've never been to Jerusalem myself, but he said, you know, you need to go there. It's wonderful, and the people are very nice and very friendly until you mention Jesus as Messiah. And, brother, they will get angry, and they will, if you want to set them off, just start talking that way. And they don't want anything to do with you anymore. You see what Paul wrote in to the Romans? In Romans 9, 10, and 11, you better go back and read it again. Darkness is over them. A veil has come over them. They are absolutely unable at this point to see or to understand that Jesus indeed is Messiah. Now, I know there are saved Jews out there. Praise the Lord for them. We need more of them. They're great, wonderful people. But these guys were not, and they were more than willing to kill and to maim to make their point. Let's read on a little bit. We're kind of running out of time, but we've got a little time here. Now look at verse 17. After many years, I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, whereupon certain Jews, not all of them, certain Jews, not all Jews feel this way, but these, you know, there were certain ones, from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult, who ought to have been here before thee and objected if they had aught against me. You know, a man has a right to be confronted with his accusers now. If they wanted to bring a charge against me, where are they? Why aren't they the ones here doing the talking? These guys who are here talking to you, Felix, didn't see me doing anything. They are here strictly on hearsay. Well, all of you who are the least bit familiar with our laws know about how far hearsay will go in a court of our law. It'll be kicked right out. Well, where are my accusers? If they had something, or else, he says in verse 20, let these same here say if they have found any evil doing in me while I stood before the council. Well, they didn't find anything because they weren't there. They dragged me out here. I mean, they are going, I've got a reputation here being out there trying to destroy their religion, which I am not in any wise trying to do. Look at verse 21. Except it be for this one voice that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question by you this day. It's the resurrection. It's the resurrection in Christ Jesus. Both the living and the dead will be raised up. The living will be raised up when Christ Jesus comes back for his church. At the end of the great and terrible, of the millennial reign, all of the dead will be raised up. The evil, the wicked, they will stand at the great white throne. Now look, that's what I said. That's my hope, that I will be raised up with the righteous and the just, and that's exactly why I am here before you this day. Well, Felix, when he heard these things, having more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and that he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. All right, let's just read on here. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, this is most interesting. Felix now calls Paul in, and he apparently had heard something of Christianity. And he said, all right, now, Paul, tell me about this Christianity business. Tell me about this Jesus, and tell me about this Christ. And, of course, was Paul happy to oblige? Absolutely. He started talking, and he started telling Felix about righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And Felix listened, we see in verse 25, and he trembled. He trembled. It was frightening to him. And he said to Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Now, we're going to have to cut this off here. We will take it up, Lord willing, next time. I think it's very interesting that Felix trembled. But did he get saved? This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.